The Rock Can't Stop. The Rock Can't Stop.
This is Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. Everything you need to know about the six-time NLL champions, Toronto Rock. Now, here's your host, Mike Hancock.
Well, fans, it's official. The Rock have been eliminated from postseason play, but it was an entertaining couple of games over the weekend, and the Rock did end the home portion of their schedule with a win over the Buffalo Bandits at the ACC on Friday night. Still a couple of road games to go, though, for this team, and this Saturday night they will be in Denver to take on the Colorado Mammoth, and it's a game you can watch live on TSN 4 at 9 p.m. Eastern this Saturday night. Lots to chat about on the show today. We'll have Brian Shanahan from ILIndoor.com as well as from the NLL on TSN. From The Rock, we'll have owner, president, and GM Jamie Dowick, as well as the guy who has become the heart and soul of this team over the last few weeks, Brody Merrill. Connor McGahey, the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Mammoth, will be here, but starting things off, it's the head coach of the Toronto Rock, John Lovell, and he's on the line with us now. Hello, JL, how are you doing?
I'm good, Mike. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Beautiful day in the city today. Let's talk about the weekend games Friday night. Just an incredible effort by this Toronto Rock Club. Scrapping their way, we'll say, to a hard-fought 12-9 win at home against one of the top teams in the league in the Buffalo Bandits.
Yeah, this was one of our better efforts for sure. We had our backs to the wall, and we knew that, but I don't think anybody was looking at... I think it was just a case of our guys deciding that they're going to play as hard as they can and see where it took them, and it was a pretty good effort.
Now, also, you guys continue to battle through injuries, but, you know, when you see Brock Sorensen go down at the start of the third quarter, I mean, I'm sure it leaves you shaking your head and just, you know, in disbelief that yet another guy has gone down with injury. But how did you guys even, you know, battle through that, and was that any kind of motivation, really, even in the second half of that game?
Well, I don't know. There was a moment there, you know, for about a minute that we were all just staring at it because it happened off a face-off right directly in front of our bench, and we were all just kind of sitting there, you know, in silence, wondering how could this possibly happen. And first of all, another injury, and then to Brock. And, you know, I just think there was a resignation to the whole thing, but... I don't know that it was, you could just say all of a sudden we were motivated because of it. It was just more a case of, it is what it is, let's just keep playing here, and I think that's what we did.
Now, as we move along to Saturday night's game in Buffalo, another struggle, a pretty decent start to the game, but penalties in the second quarter, and I guess over 20 minutes without a goal, maybe it's not that easy to pick apart what went wrong, but how did the game come apart, really, in your eyes on Saturday?
Well, you know, I think penalties, really. We took two bad penalties, 200 feet from the play, and you know, when the crowd is the way it is in Buffalo, and they're looking for anything to get excited about, and the players need something to, you know, to get going to, and they've got a pretty good power play. We kept it in check on Friday night, but Saturday we couldn't. So, you know, they got themselves a lead because of those penalties, and then the back-to-back majors really, you know, hurt us a lot. But, you know, we were in the game, and I think it was the kind of game that we had to stay in the game early and maybe get a lead for the half to keep us in there. But, I mean, there was a lot of motivating things going on there with, just wanting to bounce back from the game the night before, and they were running in transition almost every play. So, you know, we were in a bind right from the beginning, especially after we lost Josh Sanderson. So.
Now, also, let's talk about the Bandits' two big guns, Dane Smith and Ryan Benesch. You held them each to just a goal and an assist on Friday night, but then Saturday night, Ryan Benesch 4-4, Dane Smith 5 goals, no assists. Why the success on Friday night, and did they do anything different on Saturday that led them to kind of doing what they regularly do against almost everybody?
No, I think they put up the same number of shots probably both games, Saturday night, as they did Friday night. We just, maybe the shots weren't, we were kind of the shots that, you know, we thought our goalies could handle. You know, the bottom line is it was too easy for them to score Saturday night when you got 5-on-3 power plays and Dane Dane Smith can shoot the ball like he can, you know, he's going to score goals. And the same with Ryan coming off the bench, either in transition or he doesn't have to go through anybody to score. I mean, they got easy goals, and that's not taking anything away from them. They're great players, but it was just far too easy for them to score, so that's the difference.
So when you say it's too easy for them to score, is that on the Rock defense, or is that just those guys being
great
players?
That's the fact that we only have three or four guys on the floor, and not even in transition, probably none when Ryan comes off the bench to score a couple of his goals. But Dane Smith scored 2 5-on-3 goals, so good for him.
Now, we also continue to talk about Brody Merrill and his kind of borderline heroic efforts over the last few weeks, but what can you say about a guy who has definitely laid it all out on the line over the last month or so as the Rock have battled so hard to stay alive?
Well, he's played, you know, with a lot of character and a lot of courage here, and I think with the way he plays and how hard he plays, and he has a target on his back from the other teams in a lot of cases, you know, it's hard to, sometimes to keep your emotions in check, and probably he played with a little bit more emotion on Saturday night than he has, and with a lot of frustration. So that's probably what happened to him on Saturday night. But it's hard to, I'm certainly not putting any blame on him at all. It's just he played hard, and things got the best of him, and he was like an island out there sometimes, and you know, we certainly didn't give him any help.
We're currently in conversation with Toronto Rock head coach John Lovell, and you know, JL, we've obviously seen some great players come and go over the years with the Toronto Rock, and Josh Sanderson is one of those players. And on Friday night after the game, Nick Rose grabbed the mic and kind of almost gave Josh a farewell. I'm not sure if you guys, as the coaching staff, were still out there when all that happened, but. Is this the last we've seen of Josh Sanderson in a Rock uniform in Toronto? Will we ever see him play at the ACC again?
Oh, God, I don't know. I hope not, but, you know, he's 39 years old. If he plays next year, he'll be, you know, he'll turn 40 during the season. That's pretty tough, a lot of miles on your body. You know, he can't get out of the tough situations like he used to, and teams show no mercy. I mean, he got hit 2 or 3 times pretty hard in the game Saturday night, one by, you know, Billy D. Smith, and you know, you can't fault Billy D. He's just trying to, you know, to do his job and finish checks, and you know, they're trying to do the best they can to win, and it's unfortunate that you know, we can't do anything about that, too, and we should have done something about it. But Josh has had an incredible career. You know, you pointed to what went wrong on Saturday night. Probably when Josh went in the dressing room and didn't come back, that was, you know, we just lost a little bit more of our heart that night, and it's hard to overcome that kind of stuff because he's such a character and inspirational player. And so that was probably the main thing that the air went out of our sails on Saturday.
So with 2 games left on the schedule, this Saturday in Colorado, next Saturday in Calgary, what do you want to accomplish? What does this team need to accomplish over the last couple of weeks of the season?
Well, I don't think we've quit at all in any of these games, so I'm hoping with 2 games left, knowing that we aren't in the playoffs, that there's still no quit in us, that you know, we're still playing for something. I like to think that the guys that are playing for the guys that are hurt, and use that as a little bit of motivation. I'm hoping Josh will be able to play in these games, but I don't know. I hope we have enough bodies to put on the floor for the last 2 games. It's going to be pretty disheartening if we have to go into these games with 13 or 14 runners, which is where we stand about right now. So I don't know. We'll give the best that we have, but we have to also be realistic here. There's guys fighting for jobs next year, too. So, you know, we've got a few guys that are going to be in our lineup that they can use these games to establish himself as a player and see if they're going to step up and take this to another level.
All right, JL, well, thanks a lot for stopping by today, and definitely good luck this Saturday in Colorado, and we'll chat again next week.
Okay, Hammer, thank you.
All right, that was John Lovell, the head coach of the Toronto Rock. Coming up in a moment on the show, we'll have Toronto Rock defender Brody Merrill as well as Connor McGahee from Altitude Sports. But first, I have to remind you that 2017 Toronto Rock season tickets are now on sale. You can renew or buy new now, and beginning Monday and running through until the end of May, you could win your season tickets just by getting on board now for next season. For more information on 2017 Toronto Rock season tickets, please visit torontorock.com or call 416-596-3075 and talk with a ticket representative today. Swinging back into things, we welcome back to the show Rock defender Brody Merrill. Brody, how are you doing?
Good, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Obviously, a great win for this team on Friday night. Let's start there and maybe just explain that success that you guys had on Friday night against the Buffalo Bandits, and especially on the defensive side of things in limiting Dane Smith and Ryan Benesch to each just a goal and an assist.
I think those two players in particular, they're going to create a lot of opportunities over the course of the game, and so you just try to limit easy looks for them, and fortunate for us, we had really good goaltending too. So when they did get quality opportunities, Nick was there to shut the door. So I think that was a key.
Now, as we shift to Saturday night, you knew it wasn't going to be easy going into a building like that, and obviously a team that would be hungry for revenge from just a night earlier, and you factor in the injury side of things, which rears its ugly head again with Brock Sorensen going down. But again, your thoughts on Saturday night's game and maybe kind of where things came apart for you guys.
Yeah, no, we had a good feeling heading into the game. I think we felt pretty confident. And, in Buffalo, it's always a pretty emotional place to play, just considering the crowd and just even the style of play that Buffalo has. They're kind of a transition team. And so we try to stay even keel. I think that's, they went on a bit of a run early and it came apart for us. And you can sense that they fed off of that. So it was too bad. I think it was I thought we got really good goaltending from Brandon and then Nick came in the second half. But we just couldn't, when they got on that initial run, we couldn't respond and got in some penalty trouble. It was unfortunate. I thought we played hard. It just wasn't enough.
Now, you yourself got into a bit of a dust-up in that game, and, you mentioned about just the extra emotion that seems to be in the building and in the game, especially when you guys play the Bandits in Buffalo, but what was it that got that dust-up going with Steve Priolo? He's a guy, obviously, you've also tangled with before.
I think over the course of a back-to-back game, there's a lot of little battles within the game, I guess you can say. So for me, we got a little too wrapped up in those in the motions of the game and it kind of came to a head, I guess you can say. Two teams that, obviously longtime rivals it's tough. Comes up from time to time.
We're currently in conversation with Brody Merrill of the Toronto Rock. And Brody, after the game, we've talked about already quickly on the show here today, but Josh Sanderson, a nice moment post-game with Nick Rose, kind of giving Josh a little bit of a moment in front of the Rock fans on Friday night, knowing that it just might be the last time that Toronto fans get to see Josh in a Rock uniform at Air Canada Centre. Your thoughts on, what Josh has meant to this team and obviously just also so what went down and really a little bit of the emotion on Friday night after the game?
Yeah, Josh, it means a lot to me personally. He was, growing up in the same town, and he was always somebody that I always looked up to. And I've been fortunate to play with him in junior lacrosse and at different stages of our career. And I'm just thankful I've been able to, be a part of it as he finishes his career, and he's to me just like the ultimate You know, if you're a young guy in the game, this is the guy that you should be looking up to, and just his leadership, his toughness, and his game IQ and intelligence is second to none. And I think it was an emotional night, and I know for me personally, you never want it to end with a player like that and a team like that. And, we were thankful that he came back, and I know he's contemplating it, and it just kind of speaks to his character. He's got so much respect from his teammates, and he means so much to us. So it was a special moment to see him, have his last game there in the ACC and finish it with a win.
Now, there's still some work to do here, a couple of games to go on the road, 2 weeks in Calgary, but coming up this weekend, it's a game against the Colorado Mammoth, who are sliding a little bit over the last few weeks. It's still not going to be an easy task, though, defending the likes of Adam Jones, John Grant, and Callum Crawford. Maybe tee up that matchup for us this Saturday.
Yeah, it's always an exciting environment to play in, and it's easy place to get up for, and we don't like where we are in terms of the standings and how the season's played out, but for us, we just want to move forward and finish off the year the right way, another great opportunity, maybe some new faces can emerge and have an opportunity to assert themselves and I think just looking forward to the matchup. As you mentioned, they've got some of the top players in the game, so it's going to be a big challenge, but we're looking forward to it.
All right, Brody, thanks a lot for taking a few moments with us today, and we'll chat soon.
Okay, Mike, thanks.
All right, that was Toronto Rock defender Brody Merrill. And coming up in a couple of moments on the show here, we're going to have Altitude Sports play-by-play guy Connor McGahey joining us on the show to tee up this Saturday night's game between the Toronto Rock and the Colorado Mammoth. And that game, you'll be able to watch it live on TSN4 at 9 o'clock this Saturday night. And, when we talk about this Colorado Mammoth team, this is a team that hasn't won a playoff game since they last won the NLL championship about 10 years ago. So a lot to prove for this Colorado Mammoth team, and despite the fact that first place in the West may have slipped away with these couple of losses over the weekend to the Saskatchewan Rush, still a very, very big matchup coming up this weekend with the Mammoth and the Rock. So we now welcome to the show the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Mammoth on Altitude Sports. For the first time here on Toronto Rock Total Access, we welcome Connor McGahey to the show. Connor, how are you doing?
Good. What took so long? No, it's been 2 long years waiting to talk to you guys. How are you?
Yeah, it is. The Rock and the Mammoth don't always get together on the schedule, but they'll do so this Saturday in Denver. So I know all the boys are looking forward to the trip down to take in what is always a great environment at Pepsi Center. It's been a great season so far for the Colorado Mammoth. What is it that has made this team so good this year?
Well, good until about, I'd say last week, because it's been a rough 3 games in a row here for Colorado. Loss at Georgia and then back-to-back losses against Saskatchewan. And that is not desirable, especially in the West, because now Colorado will be locked in at that number 2 spot. And most likely they will play Calgary at home in the first round of the playoffs, which has not usually been a good matchup for Colorado. Calgary seems to be that team that knocks them out of the playoffs, what has been virtually every single season. But you're right, up until last week at Georgia, it's been the Callum Crawford show. He was, without a doubt, and you guys may have heard this watching on TSN2 up there last week, we talked at length about Callum and that he was the most sought-after free agent in the National Lacrosse League in the offseason, and for good reason. Leading the league in assists, he's up there in points as well, and he has been carrying the team on his shoulders, especially in absences by John Grant Jr. and Adam Jones. Callum Crawford has been the evergreen there for Colorado. And I would attribute goaltending, which has actually been surprisingly good, despite the fact Dylan Ward has missed some time. But Whitby native Alex Bouquet has stepped in there and not only made some noise on the pitch, but around the world with that hit, of course, on Carson Leon. But between goaltending and, I'd say, Callum Crawford in the offense, which has gone somewhere else recently, that was the success leading up to last week. And now they're in a little bit of shallow water as they head into this game this weekend at home versus your Toronto Rock.
Now, you know, you mentioned Callum Crawford and just how much he's meant to this team this year. I'll admit, I was quite skeptical when the Mammoths signed Callum Crawford. I just wasn't sure how he was going to fit in with John Grant and Adam Jones and just how much they have the ball, and knowing how much Crawford had the ball with the Swarm previously. What is it that's made this kind of transition almost seamless?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's, and I don't blame you actually for feeling that way. Callum Crawford, of course, all-time leader in points, assists, and goals for the Swarm when he was there. But he was able to continue on wanting the ball most of the time, being that quarterback. But it's actually the adjustments from the other guys that have made the difference. John Grant Jr. in particular has sort of realized his new role on the team. And in years past, it would be up to him to carry them on his shoulders and have the ball at all times, but now that role has transitioned over to Callum Crawford, and that's actually a lot of credit to John Grant Jr. being the type of player that he is, with the legacy that he has, obviously one of top two, three all-time greats in this league, in this game, and it's basically been his willingness to adjust and find a new role on the team that has allowed Callum Crawford to come in and flourish and actually help other guys around. In recent weeks, it's been Eli McLaughlin that stepped up. He had 5 goals in 2 games as well. But, again, tip of the hat to John Rand Jr. for taking a deep breath, taking a step back, and being able to find his new place on this roster.
We've got Colorado Mammoth play-by-play man Connor McGahey on the line with us here on Toronto Rock Total Access. And Connor, you already mentioned, the Saskatchewan Rush, picking up a couple of wins over Colorado this past weekend. And, of course, the nightmarish-type playoff record that the Mammoth have against the Calgary Roughnecks. So you roll all that together and knowing that Colorado's going to have to go through both of those teams to get to the NLL Championship, what do you think the outlook is here for the playoffs for the Mammoth?
It's hard, especially for guys who have been around, and especially the front office and the coaching staff, to know the fact that they have to play Calgary. And Calgary is similar to what I would say Toronto is this year. I mean, obviously, Toronto not having a year that we're expecting them to be, but they have the potential to be the dark horse and be the team that everyone expects them to be when it comes time for the postseason. And I would say that's the exact same for the Calgary Roughnecks. They show it year in and year out, and that I can't imagine an instance where it's not on the minds of some of those guys, especially when they see the offense sort of go dormant as it has the past 3 weeks. They say, well, we finally lost at home. Obviously, it can happen to anybody. And Calgary is that team for Colorado. Now, can history repeat itself? Yes, it can, but it can also be changed. And I think that this team has showed the ability to escape in tight situations. That was only the second game at home the season for the Mammoth that was 2-goal differential or more. Every other game had been a win just by a goal. So that's the sort of trait that Colorado has that they can use to their advantage to sneak out, especially against an arch rival like Calgary. But it will not be easy. They get hot at the right time, and then you have the defending champs waiting for you in the Western Finals after that, should you get over that first hurdle. So it went from being very green grass and flowers and butterflies and everything about 2 weeks ago to now, things got very serious for Colorado, and they have a lot of work to do.
All right, we've only got probably less than a minute left in the segment here, so just a quick tee up here, the matchup with the Rock this weekend. Not really a ton on the line for both teams, but like you say, the Mammoth trying to kind of get off the schneid here over the last couple of weeks with some losses. What do you think this matchup is going to provide on Saturday night?
Well, what the Mammoth need to do is they need to get the defense and the goalies moving side to side. They were unable to sort of fix their game plan last week against Saskatchewan in both games. They kept banging their head against the wall with how they approached scoring goals. Shooting from way outside, and there was no lateral movement. They were getting Aaron Bold, and Aaron Bold is one of the best goalies in this league, obviously, but when he's able to see the ball all the time and the shot is coming from straight on, he's going to make that save every single time. So Mammoth needs to get either Miller or Rose moving left to right and get their offense going. And I assume the same is true for Toronto. They need Hellier, they need Sanderson to have big nights and sort of get their offense going as they look to make a push towards the end of the season as well. So it could be a good night just for confidence purposes for both Toronto and Colorado, I would think.
All right, Connor, thanks a lot. Great stuff. Sorry it took so long for us to get you on the show, but hopefully we'll do this again soon.
Sure hope so, guys. Nice talking to you, as always.
All right, that was Colorado Mammoth play-by-play man Connor McGahee. He'll actually have the night off this week due to some other broadcasting commitments, but you can watch Saturday's Rock versus Mammoth game live at 9 p.m. on TSM4 this weekend, and Josh Gross will actually have the call of the game. It's time for a short break here on the show and a SportsCenter update, but on the other side, we've got Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSM, but immediately following the break, it's Rock owner, president, and general manager Jamie Dowick. That's all coming up here on Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050.
Go. Party Rock is in the house tonight. Everybody just have a good time.
Welcome back to Toronto Rock Total Access. I'm Mike Hancock. 2017 Toronto Rock season tickets are on sale now, and if you renew or buy new from now until the end of May, you'll be entered into a draw to win your season tickets. Get the details now at torontorock.com, and we will see you at the ACC in 2017. We now welcome back to the show the owner, president, and general manager of the Toronto Rock, Jamie Dowick. How are things today, Jamie?
Okay, Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Obviously, everybody feels a little better with the nicer weather, but unfortunately, obviously, things not going the way of the Rock this past weekend. A great win by the team, though, on Friday night, so let's focus on that first. A week prior, I guess, there was a bit of talk about a lack of emotion in the game against New England, but that certainly wasn't the case on Friday night against the Bandits.
Yeah, well, I think any time you're going to play Buffalo, Toronto, Buffalo, there always seems to be a little something there. Make no mistake about it. There's no love between those two teams pretty well on any level. So not really a surprise on that. Obviously, was pleased with the effort we gave Friday night and the result, obviously, as well.
And the other thing we can't kind of skip over here is just another injury, and Brock Sorensen going down with what looks like another pretty serious knee injury. Is it just a case right now where you kind of almost look around and say, what's next here?
Yeah, just hoping I have enough players to put a full lineup on the floor the rest of the way, to be honest with you. That's where I'm at with the injuries. Yeah, that was bad. Those are nasty. I know Brock was in a lot of pain, so it's unfortunate. I don't even know what to say about it anymore.
Now, also, we can't kind of skip over this one either. Colin Doyle had surgery last week, a cracked vertebrae in his neck. He's obviously done for the season, and who knows what the future holds for him as well at this point. But it's definitely been a difficult last few weeks, but great to hear from what we understand that Colin is doing okay after the surgery. Can you shed a little bit more light on things for us?
Well, yeah, I've spoken to Colin. We've been texting back and forth, and I know he was able to get up on the weekend and get out and get for a walk and enjoy some of the weather. So, it's all about resting and getting himself back, just to regular shape to begin with. That's a pretty serious surgery, and if we've seen the last of Colin Doyle, I'll put him up as one of the greatest to play, if not the greatest to play in this game at any time. And he's an ultimate warrior, and this was an unbelievable freak injury. And I'm just hoping he gets healthy to enjoy, like I said, to enjoy the summer with his family and kids. And we had a lot of things planned going forward with the Rocks. So, I wish him the best in his recovery right now.
Now, also, what turned out to be perhaps a little bit of an impromptu farewell at the end of the game, Nick Rose on Friday night grabbed the mic to thank the fans, as someone usually does from the team. Usually it's the captain, Colin Doyle, that grabs the mic and does that, but obviously with him not in the lineup and not at the rink due to the injury, he wasn't available to take on those duties, so Nick Rose grabbed the mic, did a great job, I think, but also at the end of it, kind of maybe surprised a few people in saying that, you know, this could be the last time you see Josh Sanderson at home in a Toronto Rock uniform, and asked him to kind of lead the team on the victory lap. Again, maybe time to shed some light on this one as well. Is this quite possibly the last time we'll have seen Josh Sanderson in Toronto in a Rock uniform?
I think it's absolutely a possibility. To be honest with you, I think both of them have been a possibility for the last couple of years. So they're both 39 years old now. They've dealt with some injuries. I know neither of them want to be those guys that hang around. Yeah, I think there's a very good chance that was the last time the Toronto crowd got to see Shoot play on the home floor. And, you know, for those that were there, they were great. You know, there should have been more there to see one of the greatest in this game gone. And I know it's not, hasn't been announced and nothing's finalized, but I know I was thinking about it, and I don't even know what the true answer is to it. So it was a special moment. I thought Rosie did a great job, great representative of the organization. You know, he knew he had to do that after the game. I went out there and put on quite a performance in front of it. So I'm proud of Rosie, and, you know, that part with Shoot wasn't. That was Rosie doing that, and Rosie doesn't know anything I don't know, but that was a touching moment for me, that's for sure.
Now, speaking of Nick Rose, perhaps quietly putting together a case here for maybe a little goaltender of the year talk. I mean, he's right at the top of the league, tied with Evan Kirk for the best save percentage. He's second in the league in terms of goals against average. He's 5-5 this year. You know, do you think he should get some consideration as the top guy this year?
Well, I do think he should get some consideration, but for me, a big part of awards goes with team success and record, and I know Rosie's 5-5. You know, he didn't play at the beginning of the year. We were going with B at that time. Well, we believe in both our goalies. They're both great goalies. But, you know, for me, us missing the playoffs and stuff like that, and I know, like I said, Rosie didn't play all those games, that'll probably be what stops him from maybe winning that award, or he's going to be in the conversation. But you know, we know what we got in Nick Rose. I mean, he's going to be a top goalie in this league for the next 10 years plus. I'm very confident in that. That's never wavered, and I'm not surprised. I expect that out of him almost every time he steps on the floor now. So I've always said championship first, then awards on top of that are beautiful. Awards without a championship, you have personal goals, but I know that we're coming short of what Nick's goal was for this year, so he's been great.
Now, another guy that's had a great season, and maybe to some people quietly, to other people's not so quietly, Rob Hellier, about to become just the fifth player in franchise history to score 100 or more points in a season, the others being Colin Doyle, Blaine Manning, Garrett Billings, and Josh Sanderson. No doubt here, though, that with this season, Rob Hellier has certainly cemented himself as one of the true, true stars of this league.
Well, absolutely. I think everyone in this league knows that. That's for sure. Everyone in our locker room knows it. I still think he would have been the guy that probably would have won MVP and the scoring title last year if he hadn't gone down with that injury. So I'm not surprised. I've got Robbie up there with the best players in the game. And he's young. He's really young. He's been on our team for 6 years, and I think he's 24 years old. So Robbie's a cornerstone of this franchise going forward, and I'm confident in putting the ball in Robbie's stick and where he's going to lead our team. So I'm really proud of him. He's had a great year. And, you know, he's got Saturday night, he shouldn't even have been on the floor. He had a Charlie horse and, you know, but we're short numbers. And he went out there for us and gave us an effort. So Robbie's a great person, great teammate, great ambassador to the team. He's going to be with the Toronto Rock organization for a long time, so I'm happy about that.
Now, as we shift our attention off the floor a little bit, we touched on this as well last week on the show that the Board of Governors meetings were coming up for the NLL. The Rock acted as host for those meetings last week. Can you give us a bit of an update as to perhaps what comes out of those meetings? I know, obviously, expansion talk is always something that's on the table, and especially with the commissioner's new vision. He's been, like we've said before, quite public about his growth plans, I guess, in terms of wanting to add more teams as soon as possible, but do it at the right time as well. So any update you can provide us there?
Well, without getting into too many specifics, I thought the first board meeting for Nick was I was very impressed myself. Yes, he did present us his kind of plan going forward for the next 5 years. I know he's been talking about that a lot, and I like what I heard, and I like his vision, and I like how he handled everything. So I'm very excited about Nick. I think he's, to me, and I wasn't involved in the process, but the more I get to know him, the more I believe that he's the right guy for this job. And if we're going to figure this out to kind of take it to the next level, he's going to be that guy to lead us there. So I've got his back. I'm all in with him, and I like what he's saying. So I'm excited about it.
Now, with two games left on the schedule here, as we shift our attention back onto the floor, it's obviously a bit of a different situation for you as the owner of this team. As for the first time, there's games remaining on the schedule, and the Rock are out of playoff contention. What's it going to be like for you, do you think, over the next couple of weeks here with two road games still coming up this Saturday in Colorado, next weekend in Calgary? You know, you don't ever want to say with nothing to play for, but obviously the playoffs aren't there to play for. So what is this team playing for over the last couple of weeks?
There's a lot to play for, and it starts with the logo on the front of their jersey. And if they're not playing for that, then I need to know that, and I'll find them another place to play. So that's first and foremost. You know, there's guys playing for jobs. There'll be guys in our room that are playing their last two games of their career. So I'm not worried about our team and how, you know, as long as we have enough guys to put on the floor, we'll go out there and give it our best effort. We'll look to win these last two games and end the season on a good note. I don't think these guys, you know, yes, this year didn't go as we wanted, and the playoffs aren't in our future here, but I think every single guy in this room has a lot to play for in the last two games, and if they don't, they'll be sending me a message that I'm looking for messages. Tell me you want to be here. Tell me you don't want to be here. Show me your action. You know, but I believe in the character in this room, and we'll show up, and yeah, we'll try and win two games, and they're not going to help us this year and get us anywhere further, but that's how we roll around here, and that'll be our goal.
All right, Jamie. Well, thanks a lot for joining us. Best of luck the rest of the way this season, and especially Saturday night in Colorado.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Take care.
All right, that was Toronto Rock owner, president, and general manager Jamie Dowick. A reminder that this segment was brought to you by Sports Interaction. Betting lines are available on all Rock games as well as all major sporting events established in 1997 and licensed and regulated in Canada and Jersey. Sports Interaction is a proud sponsor of the Toronto Rock. When we come back on the other side, we'll be in the home stretch on the program with our regular check-in with Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and, of course, from IslIndoor.com. There's more to come here on Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050.
Now the script's about to kick off, this party looks whack. Let's take it back to straight hip-hop and start it from scratch. I'm about to bloody this track up, everybody get back. That's why my pin needs a pad, cause my rhyme's on the red tag.
Rain or shine, experience it all with the comprehensive safety and control of the 2016 Mitsubishi Lancer. Lease it at 0% for 48 months and get $1,500 off. Plus, it comes standard with a 10-year powertrain limited warranty. Even more reasons to make it a Mitsubishi this spring. Conditions apply. Offer on approved credit for qualified retail customers. Visit gtamitsubishi.ca or your Toronto area Mitsubishi dealer for details. Proud sponsors of the Toronto Rock. Mitsubishi, built better, back better.
It's
Welcome back to Toronto Rock Total Access. Rock fans, 2017 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss a moment of the action. Enjoy great benefits all season long. Also, renew or buy new season tickets from now until the end of May, and you could win your season seats. There's more information at torontorock.com. We now welcome back to the show from the NLL on TSN and islandor.com, Brian Shanahan. Shanny, how are things?
Not too bad, Mike. How about you?
I'm doing all right. Let's start on the positive side of this weekend. You know, a banged-up Rock squad wins at home on Friday night in just a great game, maybe one of the best efforts of the season, a 12-9 win over the Bandits.
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic effort, you know, especially, you know, given the fact that, you know, they were down 7-5 at the half. You know, the very first play in the second half, Brock Sorensen goes down and you know, it looked like, you know more, but it looked like it was a knee injury. But, you know, it was obvious he wouldn't be back for the rest of the game at the very least. And you think with all the, you know, all the problems they've had on defense with injuries, you think this is just one more reason to quit. But there was no quit in that team. And, you know, Toronto came back with six straight goals to eventually win that game. And yeah, I thought that was just, you know, a fantastic effort by Toronto. Nick Rose was unbelievable, you know, especially in the second half. I think they reached a point where those Buffalo Bandits felt they just couldn't score on them. You see when guys start second-guessing their shots, and I think that happened in that game. So, yeah, it was a very positive game. You know, we probably knew that there was still very unlikely the Rock was going to make that miraculous jump to the playoffs, but it was nice to see that fantastic effort at home.
And then we shift to Saturday night, and, you know, it was kind of weird because just 24 hours earlier we saw the Rock shut down Dane Smith and Ryan Benesch for the most part, holding them each to just a goal and an assist, and then five goals for Dane Smith on Saturday night, four goals, four assists for Ryan Benesch. You know, I guess what did you see as the difference between those two defensive efforts, I guess, from the Rock?
Well, the first game, you know, I think part of it was Dane Smith's shooting. Like he seemed to miss the net a lot. He took quite a number of shots, but you just figure almost with the law of averages, you can't hold those guys off forever. And, you know, it just, whether it was, you know, part Nick Rose on Friday or, you know, part Dane Smith's shooting where he seemed to be missing the net. But I'm not surprised, and I was kind of expecting, you know, that they're not going to be able to do it to him two nights in a row. And as you said, even, you know, Ryan Benesch too. I think everybody's focusing on Dane Smith, but Ryan Benesch is an excellent scorer there. But, you know, the key was Buffalo got to Toronto early, and, you know, they had the big, I think it was in the second quarter, they got 1, 2, 3, 4, they got about 6 or 7 goals in a row just to break that game wide open. And you know, Toronto just doesn't have enough firepower to be down 10-3 and, you know, come back in the second half. But I think that was the difference. You know, Benesch and Smith got to Toronto early.
Now, you also talked about Nick Rose, a phenomenal goaltending performance on Friday, but then also Saturday, even when he came in relief of Brandon Miller and only allowed 6 goals in about roughly 35 minutes, 36 minutes of work. Is this now, I guess, the official passing of the torch here in Toronto in the net that, you know, Brandon Miller passing it to Nick Rose, I guess, officially? I mean, they've split the duty for the most part since Miller has arrived, but is this now, you know, is this Nick Rose's team going forward?
I think it is his team going forward, but that doesn't mean that it can't change again. You know, I don't think we should write off Brandon Miller, but it definitely has been an off year for him. And even, you know, using hindsight, you know, 2020 hindsight, you have to wonder if it would have been a different outcome if they had started Nick Rose on Saturday, because you're right, when Nick Rose came in for Brandon Miller, I believe it was when it was maybe 9-3 at that point, Nick Rose played pretty well the rest of the way. I think Rose only allowed 6 goals on 34 shots. And, yeah, so I guess it was 8. You know, it was 8-3 at the time when Nick Rose came in. But you got to wonder if possibly it would have been a different outcome if he had started, especially the way he was in the heads of you know, Dane Smith and Ryan Benesch after Friday. But regardless, yeah, I think you're right, he has taken over the number one spot, and I think it's his for now. But, you know, things can change, and you know, hopefully for Nick Rose it doesn't. I mean, he's a relatively young goalie, and And I think this year's probably been pretty good for his confidence, you know, despite the Toronto Rock very poor season. Nick Rose has been pretty good.
We're currently in conversation with Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and IslandOr.com. And Shanny, let's kind of take a little bit of a trip around the league here. You know, Saskatchewan, pretty much a real statement weekend for them. Probably what we've been looking for all season long as they take both games over Colorado.
Yeah, and I think it's not a surprise. I think everybody's been giving them the benefit of the doubt all year. Like, you know, saying that, feeling that it's a matter of time before Saskatchewan goes on their run or takes over, and you know, forgiving them for their bad games. You know, they haven't had very many of them, a few of them. But so I think given that, everybody was just waiting for them to make their move, and this weekend definitely a statement, you know, beating Colorado twice. In fact, you know, the one in Colorado was pretty dominant, a final score of 11-5. And you know what was interesting, both games were tight at one point before Saskatchewan went on 5 or 6 goal runs. You know, they did it in Colorado, and then they did it again in Saskatchewan. So it looked like when they were, you know, when they got their chance, they really turned it on, and they showed more killer instinct this weekend than we've probably seen all year. But, you know, the same killer instinct we've seen in past seasons.
Now, also, if we continue at West, Vancouver stays alive. Any chance they actually pull off a comeback of their own?
No chance. No chance at all. But, all you know, you got to like what they did. I mean, that they played a playoff-style game. And you know, much like the Toronto Rock did on Friday night, you don't want to be eliminated in front of your fans. And I think, you know, that was a gutsy effort by Vancouver on Saturday in front of their fans. But if you look at their schedule the rest of the way, they play Saskatchewan next week, and then the following week they have a killer road trip. They play Colorado Friday, Georgia Saturday. And for Vancouver to make the playoffs, they have to win all three of those games, and Calgary has to lose their last game to Toronto Rock in a couple of weeks. There's no way all of that is going to happen. And if it is, they deserve a trophy just for that, but it's not going to happen.
All right, well, we'll shift to the East then and talk about the Georgia Swarm. You know, what they've done this past weekend, a couple of wins kind of almost turned everything on its ear, so to speak. I think we all thought that, you know, with The Rock bowing out this weekend, that perhaps Rochester would just kind of slide into the playoffs almost under the radar here. But now the way things look, if you can believe it, lacrosse fans, we may have a postseason here without the Rochester Nighthawks and the Toronto Rock.
Yeah, and it's very likely at this point, and you got to give Georgia Swarm credit, because a couple of weeks ago they were sitting on 4 wins. They looked like they were going nowhere. They had lost 5 games in a row, and they were probably one of the coldest teams in the NLL, and suddenly, you know, they beat Colorado 17-10 that weekend, a week ago, and then this weekend followed up with equally impressive wins against 16-9 against New England, 17-11 against Rochester. Now they've jumped past Rochester, who've lost 4 in a row. But not only that, they've got 1 win more than Rochester, but they own the tiebreaker. So essentially, that means that Rochester's, you know, going to have to win 2 of their last 3, and hope that Georgia doesn't win any. So all of a sudden, yeah, it looks very difficult on Rochester, and I think Rochester was probably believing all year that they could just cruise along and turn it on when they had to. They've done that, you know, even some of the years when they won championships. They had, you know, mediocre seasons, got into playoffs late in the season, and I think it's come back to bite them in the butt. I don't think Rochester's going to make it. Georgia's, you know, we know Georgia's got a great coaching staff with Eddie Como, and they suddenly appear to have lots of confidence. And when you take a young team as talented as they are with so many talented rookies, it's scary when all of a sudden they start believing in themselves. And to me, it looks like they're suddenly believing that if they just play their game, they can win. There was a number of times this year where they had leads going in the fourth quarter and they blew it. Well, it appears they've gone past that point. And I think they're probably a team that nobody wants to play.
I couldn't agree with you more there, Shaney. Let's circle back, though, to the Mammoth and the Rock coming up this Saturday night in Denver. Your thoughts on this matchup and two teams that may not exactly have a ton to play for here still.
No, but I do think that pride is very important for the Toronto Rock, and you know, and we've seen that of late, you know, especially with all the injuries, and you know, even though they still had a chance in the playoffs, I think everybody knew that you know, they've been out for a few weeks, even though it wasn't official. But you know, that effort against Buffalo was fantastic, and I expect them to continue playing with that effort. And you know, there's young guys on this team that are trying to make impressions, you know, to be regulars next year. You know, guys like, you know, Dan Lintner, Turner Evans, and, you know, even on the defensive end as well, you know, Jamie Batson. And so there's guys that really want to make an impression. And I have to admit, I've been really impressed with those young guys of late. I think, you know, Turner Evans is definitely looking like a regular now. And Dan Lintner, as far as I'm concerned, had his best game as a Toronto Rock against Buffalo. So there's a lot to play for. Although it's not playoff bound, you don't know what Colorado might do, though, you know, because they might want to rest some guys, but at the same time, they don't want to go on a play. They're on a three-game losing streak now. They don't want to go into the playoffs, you know, losing a bunch of games. That's not good for the confidence going in. So I think it could be an exciting game still.
All right, Shaney. Well, thanks a lot for joining us again on the show today, and we will chat next week.
Excellent. Thanks, Mike.
All right, that was Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and IsleIndoor.com. We're almost out of time here on this episode of Toronto Rock Total Access, but I have to remind you that 2017 Toronto Rock season tickets are now on sale. Renew or buy new now, and then beginning next Monday and running through until the end of May, you could win your season tickets by just getting on board now for next season. For more information on 2017 Toronto Rock season tickets, please visit TorontoRock.com or call 416-596-3075 and talk with a ticket representative today. Thanks to my guests this week, Connor McGahey, John Lovell, Brody Merrill, Jamie Dowick, and Brian Shanahan. In the meantime and in between time, this has been another edition of Toronto Rock Total Access. I'm Mike Hancock, and we'll chat next week.
You've been listening to Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. For the best ticket in town, visit TorontoRock.com and be sure to follow The Rock on Twitter at Toronto Rock LAX. Stop the rock.